Chapter 5 Logics. Magic trumps science for most people, and wishful thinking drives a lot of decision-making. So a large and vocal fraction of the human race thought the best way to deal with the others would be to lie low. If we didn't try to contact them and didn't broadcast any signals into space, who needs to since everybody has cable, then the others would think that their plan had worked and so would leave us alone. Of course, there's no cable between Earth and Mars. But the idea of abandoning Mars actually sounded pretty attractive to some, since without Mars, none of this would have happened. Then there was also the problem that we didn't think to turn off all the transmitters right after the big explosion on the other side of the moon. So it would be like closing the barn door long after the horse had trotted off to Wolf 25. A different kind of logic asserted that we had better start building a defense against the others right now. Assuming that the ship that left Triton couldn't go faster than the speed of light, it would be more than 24 years before they got back home and found out Earth had survived, and a similar time before they came back. A half-century can be a long time in the evolution of weapons. 50 years before Hiroshima, soldiers were still killing each other with bayonets and single-shot bolt-action rifles. With unlimited energy, we could make our own planet buster, and a starship to take it to them. A lot of humans, and all Martians, thought that was a really bad idea. There was no reason to assume that what they did on Triton and the moon represented the pinnacle of the others' ability to do damage. If we got them angry, they might flip a switch and blow up the sun. They might send us all off to wherever the energy was coming from, or some other place from which there would be no returning. Meanwhile, the Earth's various economic and political systems were trying to deal with the mixed blessing of free energy. It wasn't quite literally free, since someone had to pay for the manufacture of an outlet. But there were dozens of factories, then hundreds, then one on every block, popping them out for pocket change. A black box with a knob and a place to plug in for alternating current or a couple of terminals for DC. There were other ways to access different kinds of power, like the direct matter-to-energy inferno that would power Ad Astra. The consortium that had built the space elevator, which put things in orbit cheaply and made endeavors like the Martian colony possible, had grown into an enterprise that had an annual cash flow greater than all but the two wealthiest countries. It had a lot of influence on matters like whether or not to build a fleet of starships and go kick some alien butt. It could have made the largest profit in the history of commerce if it had decided to encourage that, but a version of sanity prevailed. It would only make a small fleet of warships and leave it here in the solar system. And before it did anything aggressive, it would send a peace-seeking delegation to Wolf 25. Sacrificial lambs, some said, and of course its best-known public representative, the Mars girl, Carmen Dula, would be one of them. She was not thrilled by the idea.